Go.
What Kelsey Ballerini do to this, Beck?
She's terrible. Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Spectre here, Fanning here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll catch up with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, who was at the game yesterday. I was following him on Instagram. He was doing some little videos from it. It's actually really, really good stuff. We'll talk to Therese Paylor coming up in about 30 minutes or so. We'll talk about, did yesterday's performance hurt or help Patrick Mahomes' chance to win MVP yesterday? We'll talk about that coming up in 15 minutes. But first, today's pop quiz was brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz spec was
Enemy of the State, released in theaters 20 years ago today. Very B-movie for Will Smith and Gene Hackman.
I didn't think that was a B-movie at all. I thought that was a really good movie.
I actually have never seen Enemy of the State. I tried to watch it maybe 3 weeks ago on Hulu, and I fell asleep, and I just never tried it again. I actually enjoyed the first 30 minutes or so. I should go back and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, when it came out in 1998, you're like, you kidding me? They can watch you how many different ways? I mean, that was some cutting-edge stuff.
That's what Alexa is right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Alexa's enemy of the state.
She is the enemy of the state. I thought it was a really good movie. You got John Voight in there. You got Jack Black, Gene Hackman, Will Smith. Good stuff.
So, yesterday in the game, I think that yesterday could have a lasting impression on the NFL. I want you guys to follow me really quickly. I think the Golden State Warriors have completely changed the way basketball is played. Even if you are not an NBA fan, your college basketball team is affected by the Golden State Warriors because they showed you that it was way more efficient to take threes, and they, I think, brought in the analytics era when it came to the NBA. Let's use Kansas as an example. Even if you're not a KU fan locally, you at least follow and understand Kansas basketball enough to get these stats. 2014, Kansas took 556 threes. In 2015, they took 562. In 2016, they took 728. In 2017, they took 787. In 2018, they took 974 threes. So over the course of Devontae Graham being in college, over Legero Vick being in college, college basketball and basketball in general completely changed. I think the NFL is going through the exact same transformation. I think yesterday's game is strong enough. Enough people saw it, and the offensive output was so crazy that if you're an owner or you're a team or you're a general manager, how do you not think, wow, how are we going to keep up with this? The same way that I think NBA teams and college teams saw that college basketball and the NBA were changing and they needed to develop and start shooting threes, and the same thing's going to happen in the NFL. We talk about the Chiefs defense being bad, the Rams defense being bad. If your offense can't score 40 points to win these kind of games, you have no chance. No disrespect to Alex Smith. No disrespect to a lot of average quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, those guys are not equipped to go out there and score 35, 40 points. We've seen the Chiefs have to do that multiple times this season to win. That's the new NFL. Yesterday was the culmination of everything I think the league has been trying to do over the last 4 or 5 years. We talk about how we hate how they enforce penalties and how they protect the quarterbacks. Man, you see why they do it. You can get 100 points scored in the game if you get the right combination of great quarterback play, great coaches, great offensive talent. You can have a tremendously entertaining football game. I think the last night could have a very long-lasting impression on the rest of the NFL.
What does your mom always say? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Mm-hmm. Is it out in the NFL?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go back now. Here's my fear with this, and last night's game was amazing, right? And let me put it to you this way. Remember when you had your first beer, you kind of got a buzz, and then you drink one beer, and then I don't really feel anything. I'm gonna knock back another one. Yeah, no. And then it finally takes you 6 beers to get a buzz. You know, my feeling is this. Is it going to take an NFL fan 40 points to get a buzz, to get excited about a game? Now, I mean, is that what we're going to? At what point do we become numb to scoring? You know, because I think that's where the NFL is headed. I like the NBA. I don't watch the NBA a ton. If we had a team, I'd totally be into it. I was when the Kings were in Kansas City and I was a kid. I love the NBA. But I do know this. I tune into NBA games in the fourth quarter because I know that's when things step up. That's when defense starts getting played. That's when it gets really, really intense because I know those dudes play 82 games and you can play and play and play, but when it comes down to the fourth quarter, the final 7, 8 minutes of that game, that's when everybody's stepping on the gas. Is that what's going to happen to the NFL? Where a 38-35 game, I'll just tune into the fourth quarter because I know they're going to score. They're going to go up and down the field. I know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, if that's what the NFL wants, that's what they're going to get eventually. I mean, you're seeing these offenses evolve now, running basically college offenses. That's what they're doing, and because they're trying to, they're turning it into the arena league. And I don't have a problem with it. All I'm saying is, at some point, we're gonna become numb to all these high scoring games, and it's just gonna be like, okay, I don't need to watch that anymore. Right now, it's new, it's exciting, it's fresh, it's amazing. Look at all this stuff. But eventually, I think it'll become boring because you'll see it every week.
I do wonder when the balance is going to shift back in the NFL, that I don't think it's going to ever go back to a defensive league. I just think the quarterback play is maybe farther advanced than it's ever been before. I mean, you got high school teams that run the spread right now. You go to college and run the spread, then you go to the NFL. You've been in that offense for 12 years, and I think we just have a higher understanding of how to score in 2018. And I wonder when defenses are going to be able to figure it out, if ever. I just look at it. If I am an aspiring defensive coordinator, and I think I can be a head coach at sometimes, man, that game should discourage you. I'm not hiring a defensive coordinator. Man, my number one thing would be if I'm a team right now that doesn't have an identity. I'm trying to go find the next Patrick Mahomes. I'm trying to find the next Carson Wentz. I'm trying to find the next Jared Goff. And I'm trying to find the next bright offensive mind, because that's where the league is going. The same way we look in the NBA and we look at college now, that having a traditional big man has died out. I mean, when you were growing up in basketball, you had Alonzo Mourning, you had Patrick Ewing,
Larry Johnson, all these guys.
Hakeem Olajuwon, yeah. You had legitimate centers. Man, that's not how basketball is played anymore. Basketball is played, you try to take 20, 25 threes a game. I gave you the numbers when it came to Kansas. That's what we're seeing here, that the new normal in the NFL is, can your quarterback throw 40 touchdown passes? Your new normal is, can your quarterback throw for 4,000 yards? And if you don't have a quarterback that can do that, you are about to get left behind. Gone are the game manager quarterbacks. You have no chance to win a Super Bowl if that's the case. Look at the quarterbacks that we think legitimately have a chance. Who do we think are the four best teams in the NFL right now? Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, who could throw 50 touchdown passes. Patriots with Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, first ballot Hall of Famer. If we're talking numbers-wise, top five quarterback of all time. And the Rams. If you don't have a great potential Hall of Fame quarterback, man, you are about to get left behind in the NFL.
Yeah, but you also have to have guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce too.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, you have to add pieces around them so those guys can go out and do that. I want this part of the NFL, but I don't need the NFL on steroids like we saw last night every week, because I don't think we're going to appreciate it. I think at some point we'll just become numb to it. I mean, if I want that, I'll go watch six-man football out in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. You know, if I want that, I watch 7-on-7 passing league. If I want that, I'm going to go to the arena league. I'm not trying to be old crusty coaching short guy with a whistle, you know, saying, I bring it back to the old days where it's 3 yards and a cloud. I don't want that. But what I do want is for teams to be able to play a little bit of defense, you know, and at least not get penalized, you know, for laying a hit on a guy, for, you know, chucking a guy at 6 yards instead of five. You know, I think that's where we're headed with the game. Last night's game was amazing, and somebody on the text line makes a really good point. I mean, people have no attention spans last night, or have attention spans right now, and last night was the perfect game for them. You couldn't turn away because you were going to miss something. You know, you were going to miss something. You know, when the Chiefs had Derek Thomas, defense was cool. Sacks were cool. All that stuff was amazing. You know, we forgot about, in baseball, we fell in love with the home run so much, we forgot about defense and stealing bags. And look what the Royals did. I think at some point defense will come back, but it's going to be a while, man. Somebody's going to have to be some great defensive mind that can somehow figure out a way to maneuver around the rules and stop some of these high-powered offenses. And it's going to take them a few years to be able to do that.
To give you guys some numbers, maybe a frame of reference when it comes to the ratings in Kansas City's attention span when it came to this game, I went back and I found some old information. Game 7 of the 2014 World Series got a 58.3 rating when it comes to Kansas City. The Patriots and Seahawks, this was the Marshawn Lynch Super Bowl. You guys remember what happened at the end of that game.
Didn't give him the ball, he got mad.
54.5% when it comes to the local television ratings. Yesterday's Chiefs and Rams, 52.8. Talking a regular season game on ESPN was close to the Super Bowl, close to the World Series. Man, the numbers for this team, if they can get the one seed, if they're hosting the AFC Championship game, if this team can go to the Super Bowls, I mean, we might see an 80 share in Kansas City. Like, yeah. That's very, very possible.
Yeah.
52.8 yesterday for a regular season game on ESPN and ABC, and the games are only going to get bigger from here and more important from here.
And
absolutely captivated the city last night.
And here's what you don't factor into it. I mean, last night we probably had 15 people at our house. My stepson had his buddies over there. The girlfriends were over there. My stepson's buddies' parents, their kids. I mean, we had 15 people watching one TV. So I can't imagine what it must have been like in public last night, crowded around TVs at bars. I mean, Speck was saying down to the CBE Classic, at some point they had another Jumbotron there and while the basketball game was going on. I don't even think that's a legitimate, true rating of how many people watched this game last night. I'll go back to my guy John over at Italian Delight. He owns the place. And he was talking about it. Not a football fan, not a baseball fan, not really a sports fan. He starts telling me the story of how he was watching that game last night and he got goosebumps. Not a sports fan. I mean, that's when you know you got something.
Maybe my favorite stat from last night's game is there were 14 touchdowns scored between the Chiefs and the Rams yesterday. The Buffalo Bills have scored 13 the entire season. The entire season. That's how bad Buffalo has been so far this season. And I saw this stat from Bruce Feldman. This is the fourth time, if you include his time at Texas Tech, that a Patrick Mahomes quarterback team has lost scoring 50 points. Yesterday was common for Patrick Mahomes. Man, yeah. I go out there and I turn the ball over some. But man, you score 50 points, that should be good enough to get you a win in the NFL. The other teams that had scored 50 points had won the last 223 games until the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the kind of offensive and lack of defensive day it was yesterday for the Chiefs and the Rams.
Truthfully, you got to tack on 14 points that he scored for the Rams, too. Let's not forget about that.
Coming up in just a bit, did Patrick Mahomes' performance help or hurt his chances to win the NFL MVP? We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll catch up with our guy, Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes threw 6 touchdown passes, but did it help his MVP chances? We got a highlight. Expect that was my fault. I'll take responsibility for that one.
Still want to play a highlight?
Yeah, go and play a highlight. So Patrick Mahomes threw 6 touchdown passes yesterday.
Dynamite analysis there.
Fanning, I'll kick it to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said that it's not close between Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees for the NFL MVP award. Did last night help or hurt his chances to win MVP?
I think it hurt him. You can look at the 6 touchdown passes and the almost 500 yards of passing and say, wow, what hell of a game for that kid. And it was. But he also had 3 picks and fumbled twice. Here's the deal when it comes to the MVP. And I think Mahomes is going to get his. And he still may get it this year. Depending on what happens with the Chiefs, if he turns it around, I don't know what's going to happen, you know what, in the last 5 weeks of the season. MVPs win games late. MVPs on the road against other Super Bowl contenders go out there and get the job done when it matters most. MVPs don't throw 2 interceptions with under 2 minutes to go in the game. MVPs take you down and they kick a field goal and at least tie it and get you to overtime. That's not what Mahomes did last night. Mahomes was great for a lot of the time, and I think he's going to be – I mean, he has a chance when it's all said and done to be one of the great ones. You know, and I'm so happy that he's our quarterback here in Kansas City, but I'm sorry. Last night to me – It made the case worse for Mahomes to win the MVP because MVPs win those games. MVPs will their team to win. MVPs don't throw 2 picks in the final 2 minutes of a game.
It is very, very weird to say that I think all 3 of these things are going to happen for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe 4 things. I think Mahomes is going to throw for like 4,500 yards this season. He's at 36-28. They got 5 games left. I think he gets really, really close. Probably even more than that. He has 37 touchdown passes this year. I don't see a scenario, barring injury, that Patrick Mahomes does not throw 50 touchdown passes this year. He is going to throw. You play Oakland twice, and maybe you don't need that last game. You got Oakland, you got the Chargers. Patrick Mahomes is going to throw at least 50 touchdown passes, and the only 2 quarterbacks to do that are Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. That is the elite class, the best of the best. That is one of the 5 best quarterback seasons we've seen in the history of the NFL if Mahomes can get to 50 touchdown passes this season. So we think there's a chance that Mahomes can throw 51, 52 touchdown passes, 15 interceptions, have a quarterback rating over 110. And I agree with you. I think yesterday Mahomes took a step back in the MVP race, and it is now Drew Brees' to lose. Even though at the end of the season, I think Mahomes is going to have a better numbers than Drew Brees, man, you had two chances to win MVP yesterday. You threw an interception on both of those drives.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that it comes down to those two kind of plays. I think it would have been better for Mahomes to throw three touchdown passes in yesterday's game, maybe kind of play how Jared Goff played but not have those mistakes at the end of the game. I think that gives you the boost. You had an MVP kind of moment in front of the entire world yesterday, and you didn't come through. Not saying you didn't have a great season, and he'll probably be second-team All-Pro when I think it comes to it, but I have to agree with you. Based on what we saw yesterday, I think Drew Brees is now the favorite to win MVP.
And I want to make sure we say that there are five games to go in the season. I mean, that could change. I mean, you know, Drew Brees right now, the reason I think Drew Brees is going to win the MVP, he beat the Rams for one. He's completing 77% of his – 77% of his passes right now, which to me is ridiculous. 77% of his passes, 25 touchdowns and one pick. He beat the Rams. He's only got one loss. That's an MVP-type year. Mahomes is having a phenomenal year, especially for a first year as a starter with 37 touchdown passes and 10 picks. I mean, and he's completing almost 68% of his passes. He's having a great year. I mean, a great year. In a lot of years, that'll win you the MVP, but not this year because, again, MVPs win those games. And he had a chance to do it last night. And he didn't do it. We talk about the defense. Oh, can they get a stop? Well, they got one. They got one last night. Gave you a minute to go in the game. Or 50 seconds, whatever it was, after Tyreek Hill returned that freaking punt out of the end zone, which drove me crazy. But he had a chance right there to get him in field goal range. He didn't do it. And Mahomes is going to be able to do that. He'll do it at some point. Hell, we saw him do it in Denver, down two scores in the fourth quarter. But he didn't do it last night. And if you're trying to win MVP, you got to get the job done there.
Text line 69306. Who's to say that Drew Brees won't have a bad game or two down the stretch? Very, very possible.
Could happen.
Speck, you and I have been having this debate off the air for like the last 3 weeks or so. I've now got it down to two people realistically can win MVP. It's either going to be Patrick Mahomes or Drew Brees. Todd Gurley didn't play very well yesterday, had an amazing season. I think Gurley's maybe a little bit injured. Certainly how they were using him was a little bit funny. There was that borderline horse collar in the first quarter of the game, and Gurley never really appeared to be the same. I think it's very easily right now either Patrick Mahomes or Drew Brees to win MVP. I don't think realistically anybody else can win.
Yeah, and the issue for Mahomes is he has one more game on national television. He gets Thursday night against the Chargers, and that's about it, because you're going to have two games against the Raiders, which nobody cares about. The schedule down the stretch, I mean, yeah, you have the Ravens, yeah, you have the Seahawks, but you only have one primetime game. He had the chance to do it last night, and it fizzled short. If he had done it, I think he would have had it in the bag, but after what Drew Brees has done the last 3 weeks against the defending Super Bowl champs and the Rams, and I can't remember who the other team was that Drew Brees went against the last 3 weeks, I think Drew Brees is now the front runner for MVP.
Well, Drew Brees has three more primetime games. He's got one Thursday against the Falcons on Thanksgiving, another Thursday night game against the Dallas Cowboys on the road, and a Monday night game at Carolina against Cam and the Panthers.
Yeah, that's going to be very hard to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, if Drew Brees goes out there and wins those games, he's the MVP, and he deserves it. I mean, he's had a phenomenal year. And again, I do think there is some sentiment out there for the old Hall of Fame quarterback who's had a phenomenal year and has never won an MVP. I think that's going to play into it.
I mean, I think we really look back and you just kind of maybe look at it from the Patrick Mahomes perspective of, I think many of us thought that he was going to be good this season. Like,
Not in the MVP conversation.
By the time Patrick Mahomes' season is over, he is going to put together a top 10 quarterback season in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, someone on the text line makes a really good point. You think he only gets to 4,500. That's 900 over the next five games. He'll get to 5,000. No, you're right. I was off when it comes to my math. So Mahomes could throw for 5,000 yards this season, which I think only six quarterbacks have done off the top of my head. He could throw 50 touchdown passes. That's 13 over the next five. And I don't think he throws more than 15 interceptions this year and has a quarterback rating. Right now it's at 117.9. Let's go ahead and give him 115 for the year. Mahomes is going to have, and top 10 might even be really generous, it might be like top five quarterback season we've seen all time in year one as a starter. Like, you can't play the quarterback position much better than Patrick Mahomes has played so far this season. And the NFL, we've talked about this all season. I think yesterday was a really good example that the NFL, I think, is going to be in a situation. Because, Speck, as an NBA fan, you remember, whenever Jordan retired, there was a hole in the NBA until Kobe really, really got good. Mm-hmm. They didn't have their next guy. And that doesn't appear to be the case right now in the NFL.
No.
The NFL has is moving on from its star quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes is appearing to be that kind of quarterback. Jared Goff appears to be that way. Carson Wentz appears to be that way. Deshaun Watson appears to be that way. Man, the old guard is starting to either get too old or start to retire, and the new guard is certainly holding up their end of the bargain when it comes to great quarterback play.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we didn't know where these quarterbacks were going to come from, right? And then Jared Goff got in the league. He looked like a boss his rookie year. Now he's not. He's phenomenal. Mahomes is here now. Deshaun Watson is here now. I know, you know, I think a lot of people are still on the fence with Mitch Trubisky, but I think he's going to be okay. I think the NFL is in great shape now with great young quarterbacks.
Coming up in 5 minutes, we'll catch up with Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. He was at the game last night. Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports joins us next. It's The Drive.
Yeah, but I made mistakes too. Everybody made mistakes. Don't one person go out there and play 100%. So we're not just going to sit here and just put it all on one play. There were several plays that needed to be made tonight that we didn't make those plays. So it's a team effort. It's never an individual. It's 11 guys on the field at the whole. So we're not going to do that at all.
Last question, guys.
It's 11 guys on the field. We're not going to put it on one guy. It's a team effort. No one guy don't win the game. It's a team effort.
How uncharacteristic to see Patrick. He had a lot of touchdown passes, but he turned it over a bit. You don't often see that from him. What were your thoughts on what he was able to do?
It's a team effort. How many games he done won for us? I'm not going to let y'all do that. It's okay. A team effort, yeah.
Back in on the drive, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, there is one player on the Chiefs that is becoming an absolute force. We'll talk about him in just a bit, but really excited for our next guest. He was at the game yesterday. He is one of the best football writers in the world. It is Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. Therese, how you doing today, man?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Doing good. What was it like to be at yesterday's game?
Felt like a Super Bowl atmosphere, man. That's a pretty cool stadium in general, but you got two teams. Visually, everything was on point. I mean, you even had a halftime show. You know, it was pretty cool. It was definitely pretty cool. I think both teams were in it. They were calling their best stuff. And if you love football, I mean, that's kind of all you could really ask for. Some great players on a big stage, making plays, man. It rules. It's all there is to it.
Therese, let's just start with this. There's a lot to get into from the game, but I kind of want to ask this first. MVP-wise, I think it's down to Breeze or Mahomes. Who do you have winning MVP based on the information we have so far?
I mean, I picked Mahomes at the midseason just because I know what he's meant to this offense. I mean, it's not like the Chiefs are running that much that's different than what they have in the past. The difference is the quarterback is, like, executing it at a super high level. I just know kind of, like, what he means to this offense and why it's so special this year. At the end of the day, you know, Breeze is having a special year as well, and he's never won it. Certainly argue with his career, that'd be a shock if he never won one. I think there'd be a sentimental portion of that. And, you know, that's probably why he's going to end up winning it, along with them being the best team in the NFC North. But if Mahomes were to win, like, Player of the Year, you know, I could see that happening too. So, or maybe that's Gurley. I don't know. But I think it'd be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Talking to Therese Paylor, Yahoo Sports senior writer. Therese, I know this is tough, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you had to pick one thing from last night's game that really stood out to you, what would it be?
Well, I had a column on this on Yahoo. Hope you guys check that out. Look, this is a new NFL, okay? Like, this is it. Like, this is what they want. I was talking to many different players, and they were resigned to the fact that against an elite offense and an elite quarterback, you're not going to be able to stop them. You can't bump and run. You can't touch these guys. You know, you can't land on the quarterbacks. You can't physically intimidate them. They've taken out all the things defenses can really do to stop, like, an elite offense. So the only way they can really do it is by being ball hawks and forcing turnovers. When they do get home, stripping the ball. And not just stripping, but, like, scooping scoring. Like, you got to score points and turn the ball over. Like, that's how you win in today's NFL. You make teams go to distance, limit the big plays, and you create turnovers, period. I mean, that's it. But the Rams defense, this vaunted defense, right? Michael Brockers, Ndamukong Suh, Dante Fowler, Aaron Donald, right? 51 points. They gave up. Do you think they would have given up that many 20 years ago, 10 years ago? No, the game's changed. This is what the NFL wants. I was talking to Brockers afterward. He was like, I mean, look, I'm sure the ratings were great. This is what the league wants. We'll take it. You know, we'll take it as long as we get the win. So I think for Chiefs fans and NFL fans in general, like, this is how you play defense now. Against an elite team, they're going to get theirs. The question is, can you force some fumbles? Can you create turnovers to give your offense extra possession? This is a different era. This is the new NFL.
Therese, I want to ask you about the officiating, too. I mean, last night, you know, the NFL had this all-star crew. You said it felt like a Super Bowl. You had the halftime show. You're at the L.A. Coliseum. You've got an all-star hand-picked officiating crew, and it was an absolute nightmare for the officials. Did you view it that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL set itself up with the, quote, all-star cast of officials. I mean, they're just begging to get mocked. Apparently, they don't understand how social media works. But, yeah, I mean, look, I get it. When you get called for 9 penalties before the other team gets called for 1, like, people already want to assume the fix is in this league. Like, they already want to assume that. So you're just going to give them more ammunition for that? Like, what are you doing? From my point of view, yeah, it wasn't a good look. You know, I'm sure the Chiefs' lack of discipline has something to do with that for sure, okay? Like, you gotta not hold in the defensive backfield. Like, that's real. But at the end of the day, you know, if Chiefs fans are mad about the officiating, that's okay. But I can tell you guys, other than Andy Reid, like, none of the players were talking about it. They were legitimately pissed off after this game. And it was different than the New England game, which was another shootout and kind of like a – they were more like optimistic, like, yeah, we'll see these caps again. This one, these guys were mad because they felt like they should have won. And they really wanted to win, and they knew they could have won. So I thought that was kind of interesting and probably a good sign going forward that these guys are getting mad about this stuff.
Right now we're talking to Therese Paylor, senior NFL writer over at Yahoo Sports. Therese, I've learned 2 things for you. That contract year is undefeated, and I've learned that gunfighters get shot sometimes too. Patrick Mahomes is a gunfighter. He got shot yesterday. He made some incredible plays, but he had 2 costly turnovers that cost this team late.
Yeah, no, like you said, gunfighters get shot sometimes, and Mahomes is the ultimate gunslinger. So, look, I mean, he's going to have games like that. What's amazing is that he turned the ball over 5 times, threw 6 touchdowns. And there were points in this game you thought the Chiefs were going to win. You know, like, that's something. That's really something. So the guy's future is awesome. And, you know, I know this was a tough loss, but there's a lot to look forward to with these guys and that guy in particular.
Therese, I want to ask you about 2 guys and from a contract perspective when it comes to this, because I always like getting your opinion on this. I saw the deal that Odell Beckham just got this offseason. And then I watch what I watch what Tyreek Hill has done so far this season. I don't know why Tyreek Hill shouldn't get Odell Beckham money, at least Brandon Cook's money. He was dominant yesterday.
He's far surpassed Brandon Cook's money. I mean, look, he's going to be asking for Odell Beckham's contract, and he's going to be looking to probably top it. Tyreek Hill is the fastest player in the NFL. And by the way, he's an all-pro selection twice. So that stuff matters, by the way. All-pro selections matter. Look, you got to know that. The Chiefs know that. You know, they're just going to have to deal with the fact that this guy is going to have to get a huge payday sooner rather than later. And, yeah, you're right. Like, Odell Beckham's contract, that's right in the ballpark of what he should be asking for.
And, Therese, I guess the other person, too, is Chris Jones. We don't talk a whole lot about his contract. We kind of talk about Dee Ford and Tyreek Hill's contract. Chris Jones, he has a sack in, I believe, 7 straight games as a defensive lineman. Chris Jones, he's putting himself in that Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Chris Jones been very, very disruptive, and I said before the season there were 2 guys that you're gonna have to look at that were gonna get paid. I think it was Chris Jones and Ty Hill. Both of them are having contract years, so you're gonna have to resolve it. One of those guys is gonna get a long term deal this offseason. Because you got to do that because you can't franchise both after next year. So they're going to figure something out there. You know, it'll be interesting to see which one they pick. You know, I'm kind of not sure how that's going to go, but I definitely think it'd be interesting.
Trez, did you get the vibe of the locker room after the game that this team was completely mentally wiped out too? Because I'm thankful that the bye week is this week for them, because I don't know how you come back and you play the Browns or the Bengals or any team for that matter and be on your game after what I saw last night.
I think they want to keep playing, actually.
That's good.
I think they were pretty annoyed. This was not like a bye week checkout game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I mean.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of those games. Those guys were pissed about the result, and there was a legitimate degree of, like, annoyance at how that game played out. So, yeah, I actually think they wanted to keep playing, man. And I think it's going to be really, really fascinating to watch how they come back after the bye and probably destroy Oakland.
Trez, you get a chance to talk to they probably will, for sure. Did you get a chance to talk to Marcus Peters at all while you're in L.A.? And if
he held like three questions. So, yeah. Like, no, he didn't really wasn't really interested in talking to local guys. He did talk to Mike Silver, who's a Bay Area guy. Marcus is very loyal to the Bay Area, so that didn't surprise me. I wasn't in the locker room at the time Marcus spoke, but I know he didn't take very many questions.
I thought he handled himself well last night. I thought he had a pretty good game, and I love the fact that he went over and gave Andy Reid a huge hug after that, and the whole thing with Mahomes when it looked like he had him on the ground. It sounds like that was nothing. I thought Peters really impressed me the way he handled himself last night.
I'm gonna go back and like look at the game because it's tough when you're watching.
Sure,
you can't like watch the TV, but he did get the Marcus Peters pick. I knew there was gonna be something. I knew he was gonna do something. That was pretty awesome. He just kind of known with that guy. Like, you knew that something was coming. He's always good for a play like that in a big game. You know, that's just who he's been throughout his entire career. So, you know, good for Marcus. You know, good for the Chiefs. Both sides have moved on. Both sides are happy, you know. And from the Chiefs' perspective, you know, they knew what they were doing when they traded him. They knew what they were giving away, this playmaking and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Marcus go on to have a little stronger season.
That is our guy, Terez Paylor, with Yahoo Sports. He is one of the best football writers in the world. Terez, have a great Thanksgiving, man. Always enjoy having you on the show.
Hey, same to you guys.
That is our guy, Terez Paylor. He is actually going to be doing the Terez Paylor Show tonight at 6 o'clock at Tanner's at 119th Street. If you want to go out there and you still jonesing for a little Chiefs and Rams conversation, you can head out to the Terez Paylor Show hosted by Ron the Show Hughley and Josh Vernier tonight at Tanner's starting at 6 o'clock. Coming up on the other side, I actually want to talk about Chris Jones. I came into this game thinking that you needed a big game from D4, Justin Houston, and Chris Jones. They actually got that from all three of them. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive. Coming up at 4 o'clock, I think we learned something very valuable about the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about this. And there was an historic over-under, and they weren't even close. Like, we always talk about how Vegas doesn't get things wrong. Man, you set the over-under at 64.5, and you're off by 30-something points. I mean, the over-under wasn't big enough yesterday. Somebody texted me in the middle of the game and said, I'm live betting right now. The over-under is 88. You would have cleared that, too. Like, every time they kept putting a new number for the over-under, you would have kept clearing it yesterday. You could have made a lot of money on that game if you had just constantly kept betting the over.
Yeah, I mean, they were, what, off by 41, I think, right? 41 points? And that, it's nuts. I mean, we were teasing Sean Barber about it yesterday. He said that game was going to go under. We've been teasing him, and I want to know where my latte is, man. I want my expensive coffee ASAP from Sean Barber. But we thought it'd go over. We didn't think it'd go over by 41.
I mean, one team scored almost as many points as Sean thought was going to be scored in the entire game.
I know.
We're just starting to see that more and more when it comes to these overs that, when in doubt in 2018, always side offense. Earlier today, you and I caught up with Sam Munson, and this is what he had to say about Chris Jones.
Chris Jones was a phenomenal force himself. He's not Aaron Donald because nobody is, but Chris Jones is elevating himself into that conversation of the next best interior defensive lineman. Guys with, you know, up there with Fletcher Cox, with Geno Atkins. Chris Jones is putting himself into that conversation as well.
There's two things that I don't know if people are going to talk a whole lot about today, and I don't blame them if they're not talking about it. I would say number one is, you remember during the offseason, we were talking about Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens like they were a combo deal. Like, they were both going to be on the field, and they were going to be the answers to the Chiefs' run defense. I don't know if you've seen this or not. How many snaps do you think Reggie Ragland played yesterday?
Man, that's a good question. I haven't seen the snap counts. 22.
Eight.
Wow.
Reggie Ragland played eight snaps in the game yesterday.
He ain't lying.
Wasn't on the field at all. Eight snaps in that kind of football game. Now, I know that the Rams didn't use Todd Gurley maybe the way we thought they were at the very beginning of the game. Reggie Ragland played eight snaps yesterday. I don't think a lot of people are going to be talking about that today. The other thing I don't think people are going to be talking about is we talk about the contract year and all that stuff. Man, Chris Jones is putting together a monster kind of season. We talked to our guy Sam Munson that he says he's having a Fletcher Cox, Geno Atkins kind of conversation. Man, Fletcher Cox got 6 years, $102 million. Geno Atkins has signed two big-time deals with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's not Aaron Donald. I think we can identify with that. But, man, Chris Jones might be one of the top 5-8 defensive linemen in the NFL. And the Chiefs, we talk about windows and how long and how short they can be. They're getting to the point where you can argue they got a top three receiver in the NFL. Guys want to get paid like they're top three receivers in the NFL. You can argue they got a top three running back in the NFL. Guys want to get paid like it. Top five defensive linemen. Yeah. Guys want to get paid like it. Man, you got the perfect combination, and you bring up the Royals is. I don't think we talk enough about what the Royals is. What made the Royals really special was you had a lot of guys playing well before they got paid. Hosmer hadn't got paid yet. Moose hadn't got paid yet. Kane hadn't got paid yet. Duffy, Yordano. Guys hadn't really got the real money yet, and they were able to keep everybody kind of happy and able to pay everybody. Man, the Chiefs are kind of in that exact same time frame right now. Mahomes hasn't gotten real money yet. Tyreek Hill hasn't got real money. Kareem Hunt hasn't gotten real money yet. Kendall Fuller, Steven Nelson, Chris Jones hasn't gotten paid yet. D Ford hasn't gotten paid yet. You got a lot of guys playing on that first contract right now.
How many sacks do you think D Ford has for the season?
11 and a half.
Yeah, he's got nine. Guess how many Chris Jones has?
Nine.
Yeah, I mean, and I could make the argument that a guy like Chris Jones is as valuable or more valuable than D Ford. And the reason I say that is this, and I think it might have been Andy Reid that brought it up. And he was talking about, you know, in the age of offense when quarterbacks are getting rid of the football quicker, then how do you get to the quarterback? Is it worth paying the edge rusher? And Andy Reid said, and I'm paraphrasing here, It's the interior defensive linemen are the ones that we need to count on to get pressure on the quarterback. Chris Jones is going to get paid. He's going to get paid a lot of money because if you're an interior defensive lineman that has nine sacks, and what's it been, seven straight games now he's had a sack?
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's getting pressure on the quarterback from the interior defensive line in an age of the NFL where the quarterback has to get rid of the football quicker and you don't have time to come around the edge to get him oftentimes. You know, I think we talk about the NFL changing offensively. It's going to change defensively. And I think the dominant guys are going to be the Aaron Donalds, the Chris Jones, the interior guys. They're going to be putting pressure on it. Those are the guys who are going to make fat cash. Now, edge rushers, they'll always make money. But, man, when you're trying to get rid of the football that quick, I mean, the shortest distance is a straight line. You know, it's not curving around trying to get to the quarterback when it's in and out of their hands before he can get to him. Chris Jones is going to get paid. And what Chris Jones is doing right now is unbelievable. He, in my opinion, is one of the new wave of defensive players. He gets to the quarterback quicker, man. It's shorter. Go straight. Run your guy into him. And not only that, you know, if he can help stop the run when they decide to do that too, it's a huge position that he's playing. Defense is changing too, man. I think those interior D linemen that can get pressure on the quarterback are going to make a ton of cash in the future.
I'm still not very high on the defense, and I know you and I disagree about the defense, but I am willing to concede this point when it comes to it. I don't think there is a good defense this year in the NFL, and I think we are starting to see the formula may be able to score a lot of points like the Chiefs can, be able to score a lot of points like the Rams can, be able to score a lot of points like your best teams in the NFL, and have four or five stars on your defense that can make big plays when necessary. Like, the Rams' defense was not good yesterday either. But Aaron Donald made some big plays. What is his name? Epucom? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Got me, man.
He made big plays
in
that
game. I just
called
him 50.
Marcus Peters. Now, I know the ball came floated directly to you, but you trade for Marcus Peters to make a big play in that kind of game, and he made a big play in that kind of game. You talk about Ndamukong Suh. You talk about Dante Fowler. They traded for Dante Fowler. I think that might be the formula for defense in 2018. Man, we're not going to get stops. We're not going to be able to keep teams out of the end zone. But we hope that we have all our stars. And for your team, that would be Chris Jones, who played well yesterday, got a sack. That would be not a star, but Alan Bailey, good player, played really well yesterday. That would be getting Eric Berry back. Justin Houston forced a fumble, played really well yesterday. D Ford made a couple of plays yesterday. Maybe that's the formula now in 2018, is try to have as many stars defensively as you can, hope that they can make one or two plays throughout the course of the game, and that be enough to shift the balance in your favor and just hope that your offense plays well enough to win.
And I think the Chiefs' defense did enough last night. I know that sounds crazy because you look at 54 points on the scoreboard, but you have to remember, I mean, that Chiefs' defense got you 5 sacks, hit the quarterback 8 times, forced 2 turnovers, scored a touchdown, and got 6 stops. Against the Rams in the modern NFL, that's good enough, right? That's good enough. And, you know, in the days of those interior defensive linemen just starting to eat up blockers and clog up stuff, those days are going to be gone. You got to get to the quarterback, and like you said, you have to force turnovers. I mean, look what the Rams are doing. They were getting to Mahomes, and they were knocking that football free. They were doing the Derek Thomas, you know, tomahawk chop trying to free the football because you can't hit the quarterback anymore, so you might as well try to break his arm and knock the football out of it. But from what you said, CDOT, I think the Chiefs did that yesterday. You know, if not for the Chiefs' 5 turnovers on offense, I think the Chiefs win this football game. The defense, to me, played well enough last night for the Chiefs to win.
But, I mean, I will say this, though. I know we're up against the break, though. The formula was kind of similar to the game against New England. Slow start from the offense. You lost the turnover battle. And I would say the Patriots' defense played better than the Chiefs did in the game. They certainly made more plays defensively. Same thing for the Rams.
Yeah, I think they only had 2 turnovers in that Patriots game. 5 last night. You just can't overcome.
Yeah, but I'm saying you got to give the Rams credit. I mean, they were forcing turnovers from it. I mean,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, when I look at the Marcus Peters play, it wasn't like Peters made some great play. A guy hit Mahomes' arm, and then you make the play. That's your defense going out there and making plays. You need this defense to be an attack-style, take-away-the-football defense, and they just haven't been too many times so far this season. Coming up in just a bit, we'll take a trip around the NFL, Chiefs and Rams style, and I think we are seeing just how important home field advantage is going to be this year in the playoffs. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.